Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Guess what time it is now?
Whip out your joystick and get ready to give it a wiggle. You're here with Joy Drive's monthly video game gossip with Elliot Attard.
Elliot, we're a little bit later than a month.
Well, by like a week, Warren. I think it's okay. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. It's good to be back in the studio with your smiling face.
I'm glad to have you here. Thank you so much. But something big has happened in the interim, and that is this thing called PAX, but it's P-A-X, not...
Correct.
Not as in PAX. I'm packing my bags.
No, it's a different word. Yeah, it stands for Penny Arcade Expo.
Okay. P-A-X. And what is that?
So, PAX, it happened from October 6th to 8th, right? Mm-hmm. So, in fact, before, like last month, we were talking about it, you know, in terms of it's upcoming and we're excited about it. And now yep. It's like, I'm still recovering from it. It was...
It's that big.
So, PAX itself, and I'll set the scene for those unaware, it takes place at the Melbourne Exhibition and Convention Centre. It happens every single year, and it is the biggest gaming event in Australia, probably in the Southern Hemisphere, but I don't have those facts for you, but let's assume it is. Basically, a lot of people come and they set up, and they are either there to do panels or mm-hmm. talks, or they are there to display their video game. People come from internationally, people come from all around Australia, obviously. There's a big presence of just kind of local development studios and publishers and agencies and media and, I don't know, and basically anybody who is interested or is involved within the video game industry will be around PAX at this time of year, because not only is it like this amazing consumer-focused thing where mm-hmm. all these gamers can come and check out the latest and greatest, but it's also this amazing industry event that ends what we call Melbourne International Games Week. So this is part of the reason why I'm saying I'm still exhausted, because really PAX is a weekend thing, but it is at the end of what is already a crazy, chaotic week of networking and events and just so many things that are happening. Does that explain anything?
I'm smiling because I thought...
more questions than answers,
No. When it was on, I contacted a couple of my friends. I rang them and because I'm more a phone, I ring people first before I text them. Anyway, and two of them went, oh, can I call you back in a couple of days? I'm at PAX.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like it consumed everyone.
Correct. And I like the idea of I'll call you back in a couple of days, not in a couple of hours. Quite literally, Warren, I was there setting up before 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. every morning, and I wouldn't be out of there until almost midnight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you had the Joy's checkpoint stand,
correct.
Didn't you? And how did that go?
Oh, amazing. It was so awesome to connect with people. So people could walk in, and we were in the PAX Together Lounge, which is kind of like it used to be called the Diversity Lounge. Mm-hmm. It's really a spot. It's a safe space. It's a place people can go and get a lot of awesome things and connect with queer community groups and stuff like that, right? So we were set up there, and it was just phenomenal having people who have never heard of us kind of walk up and find out information and learn a bit about Joy, a bit about Checkpoint, or the flip side, which is, you know, our fans who are like, you know, you often don't see them because we're on radio. You know what I mean? It's like you're talking into the void. But for people to come up and say, hey, I love listening to you, or I've been a big fan of yours for ages.
Did anyone pass out in front of you when they saw you?
God, I did not have that effect on people. I am not Warren famous.
No. I bet it did. But how exciting to be there amongst all those fans. And, you know, you've all got something in common.
Yes.
And that is that you love gaming.
Yeah, it feels like a family. It feels like everybody can be themselves. Everybody can let loose. People dress up. It's just chaos but amazement.
We're joined in the studio by Elliot Attard from Joy's Checkpoint Show, which you can catch here on a Saturday from 2 p.m. through to 4 p.m. Elliot, what were the big takeaways that you took from the, I suppose, the whole gaming week and PAX itself?
I think the big thing that I remembered, and it's always one of those things that connect, is every year they do this. It's just how much of, you know, a community the gamers are, and also just how friendly and queer friendly everybody is. It's kind of it's this weird phenomenon that happens, but I think video games are a bit of escapism for some people, and I think a lot of us who grew up with video games turn to it because maybe we weren't finding the same connections or the same representation or the same freedom to be ourselves in the real world. So right. We kind of connect with video games, and then you grow up with it and you realize that all these other people shared that same journey as you, and they're all here now in a room celebrating and being themselves. And even on the development side of things, it just feels like everybody is so queer and open and, or at the very least, like amazing allies. And it just feels really incredible.
I think that is fantastic. Were there any exciting games that you saw?
Oh, my God. Oh, yes, so many. I don't even know where to start. One of my favorite games there, it's called The Dungeon Experience, mm-hmm. made here in Melbourne. It's kind of a Dungeons & Dragons role-playing style game where you're being a narrator is like a crab. And it's a comedy game. So, you know, we were doing stuff in the demo like pushing on a barbarian's nipples, for instance. And it's kind of a roller coaster.
What did that feel like?
Well, it wasn't a literal action. I mean, you watch your character do it. Right. But I bet it felt amazing. It's always been a dream of mine. But imagine that level of lunacy, but that spread across like this 20, 30-minute demo.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited by that game, just as far as the sheer shenanigans of it all. But one of my other favorite games, I have to give a shout out to a video game by the name of Kamazoo.
Kamazoo.
It's coming out real soon, in about a month.
Will that be one of the ones that we might even talk about here on the
gaming segment? I
doubt it,
unfortunately.
It's a bit advanced for me.
Not necessarily advanced. I'd love you to play Kamazoo, but it would require an online play.
Ah, right.
And moreover, I'm not sure it's going to be available on Mac, which is what you've been kind of playing on.
Yes.
So probably not, but a really cool 10-player co-op game where you play as one of 50 different characters, all with different kind of abilities,
yeah.
and you just have to work together, and you generate karma by helping each other. And
generate
it's just,
karma.
Love it. It's wholesome. It's amazing. It works perfectly, and it's just, it just kind of feels like random chaos, but really wholesome and fun.
Oh, fantastic. Now, any other gaming news you want to share with us?
No, I think
that's
ultimately
enough.
There's been some big stuff happening. Okay, so for instance, there's been this Activision Microsoft deal that cost $69 billion finally closed this week, or late last week. I don't know where time flies, but that's kind of been one of those things that everybody's been talking about. But to be honest, I'm done to death with it. It is, look up all the details you want. It is huge for video gaming because it is this monstrosity of an acquisition that is like going to have huge ripple effects throughout, you know, gaming as a whole, but it's too much to unpack here.
As long as it has positive effects, because we don't want concentration, do we?
Well, you don't want monopolies.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where the gaming world is somewhat going with stuff like this.
And we don't want the retrospective application of fees.
No.
Which is what we spoke about last time.
Yeah, well, they've had to backtrack that too, but yeah.
Oh, that's gone, has it?
Almost entirely, but not entirely.
Okay, we were talking about that last time, and that was where I think one particular gaming developer...
Yeah, called Unity. They make a video game engine, and they did some really awful things, like changing policies on the development studios that run their engine. And again, we don't have time to go into it, but at the very least, there's been some positive news on that front.
Oh, I'm really pleased to hear. Elliot Attard is in the studio with me from Joy's Checkpoint, 2 to 4 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. Now, I was playing a game called Papers, Please, which is what you sent me for homework
yes.
last time we spoke.
This is an interesting one. I'm so keen. I mean, just tell me, like, What do you think? What is this for people who might not know?
Who came up with the name of the country, Astotska?
It was just some made-up country. Some made-up
name. Do you know what? It's interesting because it was totally different to any other game that I have played. And
it's kind of a bureaucracy simulation game. You're a border security guard. People are showing you their passport. You have to approve it. But there's kind of like multiple things you have to focus on. You're checking whether they're fakes.
Yeah.
And then there's this morality side of things. Somebody will walk in and be like, please, my family needs me. They're on the other side of the border. I know this passport is expired, but like people will die. It's like, and you have to make these.
And then you look and you think, oh, but I think the passport is a fraud.
Yeah.
But I'm getting this story presented to me. And you have to make the decisions.
Yeah.
As like this sort of border security person.
Did you feel, were you pulled in different directions?
I was pulled
what
in different directions.
What was your morality feeling?
It was weird because there's a guidebook that has all of the rules.
Yeah.
And that was changing quite a lot. So you've got to keep looking at it. But I found that, you know, you're employed by the government of Astotska to let people into this country and what have you. But if you stuff up, you get into a bit of trouble.
Of course.
As well. So
yeah, your livelihood is on the line here.
The livelihood is on the line. So I found it quite stressful in some ways. Like I was examining papers, I was looking for discrepancies. I felt like there was a heavy responsibility on me because I was essentially playing with people's lives. But what I learnt was in playing the game, which is called Papers, Please, is that it's not me that's making the decision. I'm just basing it on a set of rules that have been given to me in this guidebook. And once I sort of got that understanding, it took a lot of the pressure off, even though I was getting the pressure from the people presenting their papers. But I was thinking, you know what, I'm actually just, if you tick, 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 you meet these rules, I'll let you in.
Oh, you're a very good boy following the rules of the government.
I was fine because I wanted to
whether
I
it's morally right or not. I see where your philosophy lies.
It was very therapeutic in some ways, doing a bit of a mundane stamping, you know, enter or denied, whatever it is. There was that. I can see that. But the rules did keep changing. I had to keep looking at this guidebook to see what was changing. That was a bit of a pressure. It was good. I liked it.
It's just one of those, I've always found it to be incredibly interesting game about morality and what a player will do when given freedom and given rules, but being told different things by different people. It's one of those things only video games can do. It's like an experiment.
Yeah,
exactly. Sit a player down and you'll find out a lot about their personality by what decisions they make.
But it's also uncomfortable interrogating someone.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you've got a feeling that someone may not be providing you with the right information and you think, oh, what if their story is true and I have to interrogate it to find out more information? So I certainly found out I don't want to be one of these people,
well,
immigration
real quick,
people.
I know we have to move on, but did you have any fun with it? Because it is an intense game.
No.
Okay.
I didn't have fun. Just having said that, I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't smiling, going, I love it. It was quiet too. I found there wasn't much, like there's no music or anything like that.
Yeah,
just
it's deliberately intense in that way.
Background noise. The colours are very sort of, you know.
Very muted.
Muted sort of that Soviet era colours. So I found it not a downer of a game, but certainly not
I think you're allowed to find it a downer.
Are you?
But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did a bit.
Depressing in many ways, absolutely.
Yeah, I found it a bit. I came away feeling, have I done the right thing in terms of making these decisions? So that was the game. Look, I don't know if I would go back and play it again unless I was feeling really, really good and I thought, I don't want to be feeling good anymore.
Sure.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I absolutely adore the game, but it's similar to you. Like it's one of those weird ones because it is depressing. It's not very fun. So it's like, how do you justify that? Like if somebody were to tell you like, oh, I love this thing, but it's also awful and I hate it. It's like, both those things somehow are true in this game. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the game is called Papers, Please. You can catch it. I got a bit confused because I think there were a couple of versions. There was like a retro one or something.
Yeah. So they made a demake, which is like
a demake. That's right.
Yeah. It's a more modern version, but it's like deliberately designed to feel less modern.
Okay. What's our homework for next month?
Okay. I've kind of been building up to this. So this
have
is
you?
Well, I'm not sure if we're doing this into 2024. You and
yes,
I haven't had that. Oh, we have.
Where are
okay.
On the spot.
I was going to say.
Done.
I
sealed.
So I wanted to kind of start building up towards some really incredible titles.
Yep.
And I really want you to play a video game by the name of Firewatch.
Firewatch.
Yeah. So this is a game developed by a studio called Campo Santo. They're based in America. They're an indie studio, so they're a small studio. But after the release of this game, they did get a much larger company by the name of Valve acquired this studio. They were like, you've got incredible talent. We want you working for us. So
oh, wow.
They are now part of a much bigger company. But at the time of releasing Firewatch, yeah, they were back in 2016, they were a small American company. Won BAFTAs and many awards after the release of this game. It's basically you play as a man working at a fire lookout station in the kind of Wyoming wilderness.
Oh.
So this game takes place in 1989, so it's a bit in the past. And basically it's this first-person game. It is absolutely gorgeous. The environment is stunning. And it's just a game all about mystery. It's like there are some weird things happening and it's your job to investigate. And your only kind of communication, your only attachment to anything outside of this empty wilderness and the weird things happening is your kind of walkie-talkie radio system where you are communicating with one other person. And the game is incredible because, I mean, number one, it is the voice acting and the writing is absolutely superb, but also the way you are evolving the story through your choices in dialogue and the relationship you are forming with this other character is all based on your decisions, your actions, the choices you're making. And so it's a rather short game. I do encourage people to try and finish this one because it's really cool. And basically, you're just unraveling a mystery.
Oh, fantastic. Who's the other person I'm talking to on the walkie-talkie?
Oh, you'll have to find that out. It's your boss.
Okay. So the game is called Firewatch. We will be playing that and we will chat to you in 1 month's time. Yes. And into next year.
Definitely.
There, signed, approved. It's my stamp.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
You may enter the country. Thank you, Elliot.
Thanks, Warren.
We'll catch you Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. on Checkpoint here on Joy 94.9.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.